talking today in regard to David. And I started out with Acts chapter 13 and verse 22 in reference to David being after God's own heart. What kind of heart did David have? We asked that question. After God's own heart, it means that he was trying to be in the manner of God's own heart. When the word after is used, it can be used in the scripture in reference to time. That is, this person follows after this individual. It's a line situation. It's after a period of time. But the word after may be used also in regard to the manner of individual that that person is. And that is how it's used in this passage. David was the man after God's own heart. That is, he sought to be the manner of God's own heart. As a result of that, he was a person who was keenly aware. When made aware of it by reading God's word, by looking into the heavens, like you see in Psalm 51 and 5 when he said, "My sin is ever before me." He was contemplating on his past action of life, and his heart was broken by the fact that he had done sin before God. It is the same David that says regarding God that with a contrite heart, God speaks unto us and calls unto us. And in reference to this matter, we find David wanting to be the person that God would have him to be. Well, tonight in this particular study, to follow up, I want to ask you and me in regard to this matter, how do we find ourselves and what can we do in certain instances to have our heart, not our blood pump, but our heart, our mind, our seat of emotion, our seat of understanding, that heart within us, that heart of hearts within us, how can we have it to be like God? How can we have it to be sensitive to God? You know, when the prophet came and criticized David for his mannerisms, he said, "I have sinned," as Nathan complained to him about what he had done and how God opposed it. And God had put away his sin from him, but told him there would be great, great consequences to come to his life. David would suffer having a divided family, son after son divided and death created, problems and difficulty with his wives because of them, circumstances that were done privately and quietly and in secrecy to be done openly and above board and so tragically done in front of all of Israel. His heart was broken. No doubt you can see the problems of Psalm 51 when he said, "My sin is ever before me," because of the fact that he knew God had forgiven him. But he also saw the consequences of that sin. In our lives, we can be like David and say, "There are things in my life that when I reflect upon them, there's no good thing about it. And there's no good thing to serve in it. Let me not rejoice in that wrong. Let me not rejoice in that iniquity. Let me not rejoice in that evil." And that's the first of things about our lives. When we remember days gone by, we can be like God when we push away evil from our thoughts and our mannerisms. And when we push that away and say, "God, I should have never been there. I should have never drank that. I should have never said those words. I should never have done those deeds. My sin is ever before me," like David's sin was ever before him. And when we're that kind of hard individual, baptized into Christ, as a good brother was this morning, baptized into Christ from his heart to obey the Lord and to have the remission of his sins, and to know that the Lord promised through Simon Peter there in Acts 2 and verse 38, "To repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Not only should we be people who reject the things of the past, as God would reject them, to keep our heart right and doing good, but also we should enjoy the presence of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is said to be with the people of the Lord. In Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 24 and thereabouts, he tells us that this Spirit of God is a witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children of God, we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We have a wonderful blessing of what the Spirit in the Word of God reminds us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, reference is made by Paul to the fact that the Spirit of God revealed in words the mind of God, the wisdom of God. And he used something there that's sometimes used in funeral services. And I know I don't make a big issue of it, but I note to the speaker sometime when we get personal studies and everything, that originally that first presence of that passage in 1 Corinthians 2 about I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of a man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And the application is made toward the deceased going to heaven. And the idea is that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, hath not entered the heart of a man, wonderful joys and blessings that will be found at the Lord's right hand over there. That's a distant application to that passage. For that passage goes on immediately to say, but God has revealed these things, the Spirit of God revealed these things in words which we speak unto you. Eye hath not seen, man did not invent it. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of a man, the things that God has prepared for them to love him. But the Spirit has revealed these in words which we speak unto you. Paul is saying, we have the word that the Spirit of God has spoken on this subject and that subject. And as a result, if we're people who, first off, neglect and resist those bad things of the past, just like God would, we'll have our heart affected by the fact that we don't love that. We don't rejoice in that. We don't say jokes about that. We don't find ourselves rejoicing in what we used to do that was evil and against God. And secondly, if we follow the words that the Spirit of God has revealed, we'll have that wisdom of God within our minds. Our hearts will have that wisdom. And as a result of following His word, like putting first the kingdom of God, all these things of life will be added unto us. Is that not what Jesus promised? If you seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. When in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, the context of that verse, he's speaking of food, clothes, and shelter, the necessities of life, the basic things of our life activities. How is the case that men and women got through that throughout their years and days? Because God was with them, and the heart of our lives is that the following of the word of the Holy Spirit is a wonderful way for us to live. Always adjusting our hearts in prayer and thoughtfulness about God is a wonderful, wonderful blessing to have. I don't have any particular verse that tells that the Holy Spirit whispers in our ears things to say and do. But I do have those verses that note that He's revealed these things in words which we speak to you. And those words have been written down, and here they are. And we read them, and when we read them on the subject of seeking first the kingdom of God, or being a person who forgives others their trespasses against us, as we forgive them who trespass against us, we find a blessing from God involved in that matter. Our heart is made to rejoice, because there will be unusual things that happen in our lives. We'll see blessings begin to flow into our lives at certain times that we never thought was there. We didn't realize it was there. Questions will be asked of us, of fellow brethren. And that's number three. We'll find ourselves in a heart relationship talking about the good and favorable things. And as a result of talking about good and favorable things in our lives, how we really find ourselves looking up saying, I'm blessed of the Lord in this matter. I'm blessed of the Lord. I put first the kingdom. I'm blessed of the Lord. I've been a person who looked in God's word, and I've been forgiven. I'm willing to forgive others. And I've been blessed of the Lord with the peace that I have. I've had individuals tell me that when they were holding a grudge, that they found themselves blessed of God with sleep that they hadn't had in months and years. When they turned it over to God, they simply did not hold it. They simply were people who were willing to forgive. They've had the type of sleep and peace that they had not had in months and years of time. What I'm saying is that we can adjust our heart by way of God's will and God's way in those following matters. We can resist things of evil that we used to do and be, and find ourselves not rejoicing in that matter, and we find ourselves adjusting our heart about that. We find ourselves, secondly, following the word of the Spirit of God, knowing His wisdom that's been revealed in words which Paul and others spoke unto them. And as a result, being that kind of individual, we can find ourselves using those words in practice in other verses which the Spirit revealed, telling us to seek first the kingdom, telling us to be willing to forgive, and those type of things are things that will bring us and give us a peace as we live here on earth, to change our hearts. May I note to you that that's as old as the book of Proverbs itself? In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, we read, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Now that's a good verse to memorize, a good verse to quote, and it's often done without much thought about what is really said there. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, he says. Diligence is to be employed with that. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. If I trust in the Lord that an answer will come, if I trust in the Lord that good will be done, if I trust in the Lord that good properties will take place, and I talk to my fellow brethren about good that I'd like to have happen in my life, that I'd like to be able to get through this and do that, it may very well be that fellow brethren of our Lord will come to our side. They will be informed. They'll share of their bounty. They'll look within their lives and say, you know what? In putting first the kingdom of God, here's a brother or sister in a time of need. They've shared that need with me. I'll share of the bounty that I have. And as a result, not only will they be blessed, but I will also be blessed because here is the blessing of God that's been shared with me. And I can share this with others and help others. And as a result of that, I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I didn't lean to my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledged him. And I talked about that in Bible class. You know, people ask me sometimes, do you have testimonies in the Church of Christ? And I say, yes, we do. We don't always have it to be called that, but we have testifying services in every Bible class I've ever been in. We've got people saying, I faced this, I faced that, I didn't understand this, I didn't understand that, I needed help on this, I needed help on that. We testify in Bible class, and we discuss those testimonies, and we discuss them in regard to how we maybe ought to think about it if we're not thinking righteously, and how we ought to think about it if we are. And we will encourage others to do the same practice. But you know what? There's a way in which we, as in our lives, can be negative. Turn just one or two chapters on further in Proverbs to chapter 6 and verse 2. And what does he say about what will snare our lives? Our words will serve as a snare to our lives. What about those negative words? I can't do, I can't do, I can't serve, I can't do this. I don't know any way I'm going to be able to do this. What will that do for an individual's faith in life? Immediately, what does that do to that person's faith? I can't do this. I won't do this. Let's take an example of this snare. Jeremiah, for example. Jeremiah's call to the Lord in chapter 1. You get down to verse 7. And Jeremiah chapter 1, and what happens? The Lord challenges Jeremiah. Say not thou art a child. The next, if I may paraphrase the Hebrew statements of that, which I've looked into, the Lord says, Jeremiah, even if you are a child and I can use you, I'll use you. Trust in me. I'm fixing to use you. What was Jeremiah doing when he said to the Lord, Lord, your call can't be for me. I'm but a child. What were those words doing for him? I suggest to you that those words were doing for him what the Solomon said in Proverbs 6 and verse 2 would be done to a person who is snared, put entrapped by his words. When we snare ourselves and put ourselves in a trap by the word that we speak, I can't do this. I don't have the faith for this. I shouldn't do this. I don't have the faith for this. What did James say about that man who asked God wisdom, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering? For let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. Perhaps it is the case that the Lord is ready to bless our lives with the request that we make, But in the interim of his getting everything arranged for it to come our way by way of a friend around us, well, as the Hebrew writer says, entertain strangers, for thereby many have entertained angels unawares. Let me be a person who is positive in life, rather than I can't do, I shouldn't do, it won't ever happen, and snare ourselves, entrap ourselves. You know, the word snare is used in the scripture in reference to like a bird. In chapter 7 of Proverbs, it's a terrible thing about the woman who comes out in the night and says to the young man who's devoid of wisdom and understanding. What doesn't he have? He doesn't have wisdom. He doesn't have understanding. You reckon he needs this lesson tonight in regard to how to adjust his heart? Doesn't have wisdom, doesn't have understanding. Because if you have understanding, we'll be adjusting our heart, we'll be adjusting our ways, and God will bless our lives. But this young man doesn't have wisdom, doesn't have understanding. And she comes unto him, this strange woman, and she says, "Ah, I found you. It's like I've been searching for you. Come, and the good man of my household," her husband, "has gone away on a vast journey. He's taken much money. And he'll be gone quite some time to make a profit and turn over his money and make a profit. Come with me." And it says that as an ox he follows, or as a bird flying to a snare, he follows her. And adds, "Many strong men have been slain at her house." In other words, the woman there, the evil plan and purpose of that woman, has been put into other words as though she is the personification of evil, and that many strong men have been slain at her house. Now I suggest that the Bible tells us about that snare and the fact that we may be feeling like that we're flying just as a bird. We're going through here in life and just enjoying everything, and we're not doing God's will at all. We're negative about the faith that we should have. We're negative about the hopes of the future we may have. Negative about our circumstances in life. We realize that somebody asked us, "If you approach a job that way, you reckon you'll be hired?" "I don't believe this job will last. I don't think this company is worth anything. I can't see any good coming out of this. You reckon that'll be a good thing to say going in and hire me?" No, we'd recognize immediately that the snare is there. No, don't go in there and be negative. Don't be a negative. If you can't say something positive about the hopes for that company in the future, why say anything at all? See, just be quiet. Don't go in there in a negative stance, because very likely you're not going to be hired at all. And you'd see that snare. But in this situation, here's a young man who doesn't see that snare. He's flying along. He's enjoying his flight. Everything is fine. And suddenly, he is in a snare. What does a snare do? A snare is a loose fitting. It's not a boomerang effect where you bounce off of it and you find your bearings and you fly away. But it's an enveloping thing. Instead of being tightened, the snare allows the prey to come within it. And as the snare closes about that which is captive, a bird in that instance, as a bird flies into a snare, so he, the young man, devoid of wisdom and understanding, he flies into where many strong men have been slain at her house. What can I do to trust in the Lord with all my heart? I want to leave this thought with you tonight, and that is that I can envelop negative thoughts that in all probability will be like a snare to my life. And it may affect my home life, it may affect my church life, it may affect my career life, it may affect my neighborhood, it may affect all the relationships I have with others in my family. because I just don't believe. And I speak those words that are so negative.